The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Chapman throws. And a swing and a miss. He got him nasty. 101 miles an hour. I guess Chapman is feeling okay. So too are the Red Sox. They win tonight in Minneapolis 8-5. Big time homers from Story and Duran. Defense from Sadon. And the Red Sox have a chance to win this series in Minnesota tomorrow. 8-5, the final.
Not to nitpick a win, Keith.
Oh boy, here we go.
I didn't love they had to go to Chapman last night.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, on the one hand, it's we hadn't seen him, and you're like, all right, is he all right? And then you see him, and he looks
1,000% fine once he got in there, yeah.
I think he's okay. Just threw three heaters, like, see you later, game's over. But, like, you're right. Like, did you really need to see that? No. But that goes back to maybe the bullpen's more of a need than we were kind of letting on. Like Chapman and Whitlock, also good to see Whitlock after all his issues from the plane and everything else. So Whitlock was good. But your guy, Alcala, my guy,
I don't think
Hicks, they stink.
They're not our guys anymore.
No, you got to get rid of those guys. Yeah. Those guys aren't it. You got to find some other guys just so it's not Whitlock, Chapman every single time the game is even close and like you can't rely on anybody else other than those guys. So, yeah, they could maybe use another guy in the back end.
It's Jones and Keefe. We are live today. Day 7, Patriots training camp. A lighter day compared to in full pads the last couple of days. Shorts and shells out here for the Pats. We are at Gillette, and we're presented by McFarland Energy, the heat and cooling and bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass, and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Short program today, pregame for the Red Sox and Twins. Rubber game today, final game before the trade deadline, which comes your way tomorrow evening. Pregame starts at 12:10. We'll still get you some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30, so about 25 minutes from now. On a Would You Rather Wednesday, we see Drake May and the first team offense going on air right now. Or I guess May just sat down, actually. This is Dobbs running the second team offense. We'll get you some team stuff coming up whenever they get to it. But again, a lighter day out here. I'd say the big takeaway on the Patriots front, and we said this earlier, I'm reading now from Andrew Callahan, who agrees, Patriots seem eager to start Jarrod Wilson at left guard. No Bradbury today. Wilson, who had been the backup center, is at left guard with the starting offense. Right now, they're lined up with Will Campbell at left guard.
Left
tackle. They're lined up with Jarrod Wilson at left guard. They have Onwenu right guard, Morgan Moses right tackle, and Ben Brown feels like a placeholder at center.
Yeah, I would agree.
In the middle with no Bradbury today. But I think the early favorites for your line would be that with Bradbury replacing Brown. Like, I think that's what they're leaning towards doing, at least early on in camp.
I mean, that seems like a positive for me. And if you have between, you know, probably Bradbury, but Bradbury, Strange, Brown, like, you know, best man win. And if they feel like Wilson's the guy to be the left guard, I mean, that's pretty encouraging. And if you start the season with a rookie left tackle, rookie left guard, and they're both pretty good, and just sort of the idea that those two guys play together for years to come, I like that. And then Morgan Moses, yesterday at this time, we were a little bit more uncertain with him because we didn't really see him a whole lot. And then it felt like when he was out there, he wasn't doing great in some of the drills. But Tom Curran popped up after practice yesterday and was like, you know, veteran guy. And it does seem like Vrabel has a plan for a lot of these veteran guys. They're certainly not going to take every rep, but I think it's not really a big concern. It's going to be like, all right, he needs to be healthy, but you can say that on every single guy.
Right. And the question, you know, what level can he play at? But yeah. I don't think there's any question he's their starting right tackle over DeMontre Jacobs.
Yeah, it's not a competition by any means, and he's not going to lose the job. It's like, all right, in the season, does he get hurt like he did last year? Maybe. But as far as week one, I think you can pencil him in.
Other items, just to reset, Mike Vrabel talked earlier today. He said we won't see Gonzalez for the rest of the week. But the word is he's day-to-day. Curran told us yesterday he hopes to see him by joint practices against the Commanders, which would be a week from today. That would be Wednesday. I'd say if he's out there, that's a great sign. I also was encouraged listening to Vrabel today talking about Carlton Davis. It really genuinely sounds more like management than anything else. He lumped him in with Morgan Moses, and he lumped him in with Harold Landry, who's getting a down day today. So if he's putting him with that group, that sounds like a guy they're more managing than anything. Still worth monitoring. But that's certainly what it sounds like.
Well, not only that, it was an unrelated question, but I think you can link the two together. He was asked specifically about Marcus Jones, and obviously it was last year with like the coaching staff not knowing he played both ways. But the question was sort of like, you know, playing both ways kind of thing, and like where is he going to be? And he was like, we need him to be a great punt returner. We need him to help the offense by picking up a couple extra first downs and all that kind of thing, like specifically as a punt returner, which I also leapt to. If they were really that worried about Gonzalez and or Davis,
good point.
Wouldn't he be more?
Great point.
There'd be more emphasis at corner. But if they're like, those guys are fine and will be fine, then like we can focus more on what Marcus Jones does best, which is return punts.
We need him to be an elite punt returner, he said, yeah. Which great. I didn't even connect those dots, but you're right. If they were worried about him, forget on offense.
If they knew something was really up with Davis, they'd be like, all right, we need to maybe push this guy forward a little bit more on defense.
Great point. We'll circle back to this, but Vrabel also talked about Drake May. We saw some run plays yesterday from Drake May, like designed quarterback run plays and plays where the quarterback was on the move. So Vrabel discussed that. He said that's something that they're going to have this year out of this team. Quarterbacks need to know how to protect themselves, but that's something they're going to need. And furthermore, for attendance, we have Joe Mazzulla here today.
Sure is.
Head coach of the Boston Celtics, along with his son, who I guess is a high school football player, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Is what Vrabel said. He's at Zavarian.
Mazzulla's probably going to ask if he can return punts and get hit for real. He's like, you want to go live?
Light me up.
No, Joe, it's fine.
Light me up. Robert Kraft is here as well. So there's your attendance check for the Patriots. Day 7 of training camp. Jones and Keefe here, presented by McFarland Energy. My question, Keefe, with one game remaining, day game, they should win it against, what is it, Daniel Matthews?
Oh, Zebby. His friends call him Zebby. His actual birth name is Daniel.
Daniel Matthews.
Goes by Zebby.
On the bump for the Twins today, trade deadline tomorrow. Have the Red Sox done enough to prove they're worth investing in?
100% they have. I mean, it was the 10-game heater going into the break, but it's also the state of the American League. It's not a very great league. It's not loaded. The Red Sox, with all their ups and downs and all the issues that they've had throughout the year, are the second wild card, and they're a game behind the Yankees. Think about how far the Yankees were out in front at one point. The Red Sox are one game back of the Yankees for being the top wild card team. The Yankees are without Aaron Judge. They've been playing, you know, 500 baseball recently. The Red Sox, unfortunately, also have been playing 500 baseball, so they haven't been able to gain too much ground post-deadline, but they're one of the playoff teams a day before the trade deadline. No matter what happens, I think they're going to be a playoff team on the day of the deadline, and I think,
yeah, they will be. They're a game and a half up on Texas, so no matter what, tomorrow they'll be in a playoff spot on deadline day.
That answers it for me right there. And then on top of that, I feel like we'll see what Tampa Bay and Cleveland end up doing, but there's a good chance everybody sells with the exception of four potential wild card teams. Meaning,
I think Cleveland with the Class A stuff is like they're definitely selling.
Right. And they're whatever, three and a half out.
Tampa's a good question. What does Tampa do?
And they're exactly 500. They're three games out, but they do have a team above them. But I still think it really looks like there's going to be three wild card spots for four teams. The three other teams besides the Red Sox are the Yankees, Mariners, and Rangers. The Rangers are the hottest out of that group, although they've lost two in a row. Seattle's already made a move. The Yankees have already made a move, but the Yankees don't have Judge. The Mariners' lineup still isn't great. You and I both agree. Texas might be, even though they have the worst record right now, might be the best team out of the four.
Well, and they're just scary is what I would say. Like,
yeah,
that's a team if I had to wager on a team kind of with the pedigree of winning a World Series and some big game players on the roster.
Oh, yeah, and then you go like DeGrom, Evaldi to start a series. Like,
exactly.
Oh, that's tough.
Seager, we've seen just mash in the playoffs before. Like, yeah, that to me is maybe the scariest of those.
And
teams.
Regardless, I mean, so yeah, you're competing with them, but the Red Sox should absolutely be a playoff team. And so, yeah, you need to buy on this team, and there's every reason in the world to buy, too. You got rid of a bunch of salary, if that's what you were concerned about. And I know you, me, and most of the fans aren't concerned about that, but John Henry was. They got rid of that with Devers' contract. And you have so many good prospects, and a lot of them aren't even prospects anymore because they're currently playing for your major league team. So you have a whole pool of players that you could deal from to add to this team. And so I think there'll be enough good players available at the deadline, too. I don't think it's one of these things where it's like, wow, there's only one guy. And if you don't get him, like, you're in trouble. Like, I think there's going to be enough movement. There's already been some trades going back to last week that if they don't do anything, it'll be, like, cause for quite a bit of concern and, like, upheaval and, like, freaking out about the Red Sox if they don't do anything.
So let me frame it this way. I don't know that we've done this in a while. If the Red Sox made a truly big trade, define that how you will. Joe Ryan, Yandy Diaz, if the Rays were going to sell – Dylan Cease. I mean, you know it when you see it, yeah. But define that however you will. If they made a big trade, forget just making the playoffs. Like, the Blue Jays are in reach.
World Series.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, well, you said this before. I mean, World Series.
They should
is
be thinking
legitimate.
That way. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, we can squeak into the playoffs by not making a move. They should look at Toronto and go, they've lost four in a row. They just lost a doubleheader to the Orioles yesterday. And Toronto is tied with Detroit for the best record in the American League.
Oh, Detroit, I mean, they just have won three in a row. But prior to that,
they lost like 10 out of 11 or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And look, I do think Detroit's a good baseball team. Like, I'd say it's less likely the Red Sox catch Detroit. I feel like the Blue Jays have been playing over their heads for months.
Yeah.
And run differential isn't everything, but the Red Sox have a way better run differential than the Blue Jays. They play poorly head-to-head with Toronto.
Yeah.
But you still have more games against them. You're right, and Detroit. You still have more games against Toronto. Maybe you can right that ship and catch them head. Like, I think with a big trade, first place is in play.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're they're five games back of the best record.
Which right
in the
now
American
would
League.
Be the top of the American League.
Yeah.
And so that's how they should be thinking. It shouldn't be, what do we need to do to sneak into the playoffs? Can we add Charlie Morton to sneak into the playoffs? It should be, what can we add to really make a run? And that is in their grasp.
Yep.
But my guy Breslow, you got to do something now and tomorrow's deadline.
You got to do something. And this is also, they're five games out of first place in the American League, and that's with Alex Bregman missing 45 games or whatever it was. That's with Roman Anthony starting the first couple of months in Worcester. That's with, like, them not, I think, realizing how to use Garrett Whitlock, right? There's a lot of two-inning appearances. Now they know exactly what they can get, one inning out of Whitlock and it's shut down. So the team, even before they make a move, is in a better spot than they were for the majority of their games. But you add a player or two to this team, I mean, I think that could vault them way up there. And I mean, I'm always a make the playoffs, you have a chance at the World Series anyway. But if you're talking about how much of a buyer you should be, it's right there. I mean, you have one of the, even though they're frustrating at times, as far as like there are stretches where they don't score a lot of runs, if you just look at it through 100 games or whatever they are, they're one of the highest scoring teams in baseball, right?
Yeah,
like they're way up there.
If I'm not mistaken, they are fifth in baseball. That's where they've been. They're second in the American League in runs scored.
But they're second in the American League. And like we still say they should add a bat.
They're fourth in baseball.
Okay.
And they are second in the American League, 20 runs behind the Yankees. And get ready for the Red Sox to keep closing that gap with Judge out.
Oh, 100%.
So the Yankees are third in baseball, first in the American League. The Red Sox are fourth in baseball, second in the American League, runs scored.
And, you know, fourth best run differential in the American League, which we've heard Breslow sort of reference in the past as sort of like an indicator, right, on where they're at.
It's predictive.
Whatever.
That's how I would describe it. It's not the end-all be-all, but if you have a good run differential and a poor record, that should level out going forward, and same thing vice versa.
Like theirs is better than Toronto's.
Yeah,
right?
I'd say it's a bad sign for Toronto, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like, if you're just looking at it like that, if you're the Red Sox and all their nerds, and they're saying, all right, us versus Toronto, roster versus roster for the rest of the way, who's going to be better? And if you say it's the Red Sox, what are the chances they could be five games better? I think decent, especially if you add, I mean, certainly if you add a Joe Ryan, but even if you add a Keller or a Cease, you're like, all right, that's something, and maybe a bat, maybe a reliever, whatever. Like, there's no reason why it only has to be one.
Yeah, I mean, and I lump myself in with being guilty of this, too. Like, it's not just the Red Sox who are, oh, just get into the playoffs. Because to me, that would constitute a successful year.
Yeah.
That would constitute,
especially where they've been.
Well, and it would emphasize that you made the right move on trading Devers. If you make the playoffs after you traded Devers, not a lot of people thought you were going to do that. I think you and I did. Breslow believed that. People mocked Breslow for saying we're going to have more wins than we would have otherwise. But
see how San Francisco did last night?
I know they score a run. They lost to Pittsburgh again, right?
They lost again.
And Devers, I think, went over, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So yes, to answer your question, I did. I had to think. I had to think about
four, two strikeouts.
I thought you were
loss.
Asking me if I saw the Javon Baker catch, and I was like, "Ooh, I kind of caught the tail end of it." I think I'm somewhat guilty of this too by sitting here and going, "Oh, just get into the playoffs." I think that would constitute a successful year, but it's not the end all be all. Toronto is, to me, gettable with a big move. I was just double checking. They only have three games remaining against Toronto, which is less than I thought. They have a series in Toronto.
Yeah, they've already played them 10 times.
They actually end with Toronto and Detroit last two series of the year.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that could be for home field. That could be, who knows? I mean, depending on what they do. Because that's the other part of it. As we sit and wait as to what the Red Sox do, what do the Tigers do? What do the Astros do? What do the Yankees do? What do the Blue Jays do?
This is it. It's like, if you go out and get those guys, not only are you improving, you're keeping those players away from those teams.
Yeah.
You're not sitting on your hands saying, ooh, Charlie Morton will probably make us better while those guys make actual real deal. Like, imagine if...
Oh, that's a good point. It's another way of looking at it. If the Yankees acquire Charlie Morton, we'll go, okay, fine.
Right.
If they get Dylan Cease, we'll go, crap. Right. If one of those teams gets
Joe
Ryan, you'll go, son of a...
If somebody else in the AL playoff race gets Yandy Diaz, I'm going to be like, what the hell?
Yep.
So, look, the one thing I would say about Breslow, some names have moved. How many names have moved where you're like, crap, that's a name that I would have wanted on the Red Sox? Naylor?
I was going to say, Josh Naylor, when it's all said and done, like, if they don't get anything better than that, maybe I would look at it, but, like, in the here and now, not really.
I mean, unless I'm missing some names, I don't think there's anybody really significant.
Yankees just made a move.
What?
Austin Slater.
Ooh.
From the White Sox.
He sits on the toilet backwards is what he does.
Pretty cool.
You
got to take your whole pants off, though. That's what Davey Eyeballs told me. He's done it before.
If you do it, you can't keep the pants.
Well, like, Porky Piggott. He's like, there's no way to do it. There's no way to do it with, like, your pants getting around your ankles.
There's going to be some way to do it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you're, like, a contortionist. I think if you're just doing it, like, regular styles.
Right, no way for you or me to do it.
I would not be able to.
I'm sure a flexible human being could do it.
I'd sprain something. But, yeah. So moves are happening.
Okay.
Big moves.
So, look, that's not to let Breslow off the hook, but it's just a way of illustrating. I don't think a lot of big names have moved at this point. Maybe I'm missing them. I mean, the biggest name to move is Devers.
Listen, I'm not freaking out yet. We even have tomorrow, now that we know the deadline's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
even tomorrow,
to
at the end of the day, it'll be frustrating if at 2 o'clock tomorrow there is no move. But Friday, we have all the right in the world to freak out starting at 10 o'clock Friday if they do nothing or they add this year's Danny Jansen.
And again, if Josh Naylor's the biggest bat to move, I don't think they needed a left-handed bat. But if that's the best bat to move, the Red Sox should have been in. I'm hoping something better moves, quite frankly, and something that's a better fit, because I think they need a righty stick, not another lefty. 617-779-7937. Patriots have started 11-on-11s. After wrapping up some 7-on-7, so we have some team periods going on here. Drake May with a little completion there as they're moving down the field, looking like this is going live. Actually, they're moving the ball as they work their way down the field, so we'll keep our eyes on this. And we'll get you some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending with Billy.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Lanny. Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, are brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Jones and Keefe here today. Day 7, Pats training camp. Drake May just hit Austin Hooper up the seam. Haven't seen a ton of Hooper these last couple of days. He just got back out on the field a couple of days ago. But they're going through some 11-on-11s, full team stuff in shorts and shells today. Ooh, May under pressure on that one.
Yikes.
That was right on his doorstep.
I mean, he got the ball out. That's another one where it's like, how do you really judge that?
Well, that's one that, look, I'm not great at keeping all these stats in real time, but that's an official, that's a sack right there. That is a would-be sack for sure.
Yeah. Or maybe an unbelievable play where he eludes the tackler, gets out of there, picks up a first down on his feet.
Maybe.
Probably not. Probably gets crushed.
But I would say the big takeaway today, Jared Wilson, even without Garrett Bradbury, and we've said it a couple of different times, is repping as your top left guard. Cole Strange mixing in at center today, Wilson remaining at guard.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's where the Patriots are really looking at their third-round rookie. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up. We'll give you all our full takeaways from Day 7, Patriots training camp coming up. But what do we have for Would You Rathers today, Billy?
All right, first up, would you rather the Sox trade for a starting pitcher or a bat and a reliever?
So I think I would answer that.
By the way, that was a nice throw down the sideline and a catch. The crowd popped. Kyle Williams.
Oh, that was Williams.
Kyle Williams making a nice play.
I was actually going to
Drake May. Yeah,
I was actually going to bring this up. So Williams had a bit of a down day yesterday. I was going to bring this up. I think Bourne is getting more first team reps than we've seen.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That was fun to watch because they were in shotgun and Henderson was lined up to his right. Drake May's right, and then you had Williams on the outside on the right. So like both rookies out there. Also Pop Douglas. The rep before that, you had Steph Diggs and Kayshon Booty in there. So all those guys getting some first-team reps. But after a couple of days where he was either quiet or dropping passes, that was one of the better plays of the day.
I was going to say, even earlier today, if Bourne's getting first-team reps and already Booty's kind of standing out over Kyle Williams, he's going to need to make some plays. So that is a good sign, especially from Drake May.
Yep.
Dobbs now out there running the team in 11-on-11s. So the question was, Keith, a starting pitcher or a bat and a reliever? I think I might just want the bat over a starting pitcher if I'm getting a bat and a reliever.
Really?
That's
yeah.
my answer. Now, who's the bat? If I'm thinking best case scenario, I can get Yandy Diaz and a reliever. I think that's what I want.
So if it's Joe Ryan, I'll answer it this way. If it's Joe Ryan versus
Yandy
a bat
Diaz.
Reliever, Yandy Diaz, I'll take Joe Ryan.
Okay.
If it's really any of the other names.
You know what? That's fair.
Okay.
Anything short of Joe Ryan, though?
Yeah. I think I'll take the other two. And, the whole thought process, too, is they should be a playoff team. You add whatever you add here is going to help them get into the playoffs. Once you're in the playoffs, you can shorten your rotation anyway. So maybe it's not. Like, I definitely want a starter. They've had a lot of issues with it when they haven't had, they've had to rely on Richard Fitz or whatever it might be. But we're seeing it on a nightly basis now. Like, one more big bat can really lengthen the lineup. And also a reliever wouldn't hurt. Alcara and Hicks aren't guys you can rely on at all.
No, I feel pretty good about Chapman at the back end. Whitlock, since they've locked in Whitlock for an inning at a time,
he's
been absolute lights out. When they were asking him to go 5-6 outs, it was catching up to him. They've locked him in for 3 outs at a time. He's been great. Chapman's been awesome all year. Good to see him. Not that we needed to see him in that game last night, but good to see him look like himself. I mostly feel pretty good about Weissert and Wilson early guys.
Yeah. My guy Murph on Friday night, Chris Murphy, punched out Shohei Ohtani.
Have we said this on the air?
No.
How much Ken hates him?
Ken hates Chris Murphy.
Ken's like, this guy's the worst. And now all this, ever since Ken said, I never even paid attention to him. He's getting everybody.
Yeah.
He was great in the game the other night. They went away from him too early.
All right, what do you think about this news? This just into the news desk. Chris,
yeah.
Chris Cotillo says, Garrett Crochet is not hurt.
Okay.
But.
Oh, boy.
Is being pushed back to Monday. As the Red Sox give him more scheduled rest.
You know how I take that, Keith? It's a sign they're making a trade.
Okay.
That's a sign there's a starter and they're penciling him in.
Good, because against Houston, it's going to be TBA, Bueller, Giolito.
Wait, what day is TBA? Give me that again.
The Houston series that's coming up. So they're off tomorrow.
Yep.
And then they have Friday.
So Friday
is Crochet's being pushed to Monday. So who do they play Monday?
No. That's not my question. What day is the Red Sox TBA? That's Friday or Saturday?
Well, it's written in order here, TBA, Bueller, Giolito, so I assume TBA would be Friday.
Okay, Joe Ryan's scheduled to go Saturday. I was hoping that would line up. TBA with Joe Ryan.
Short rest for Ryan.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But Crochet getting pushed back. I'm gonna spin that positively and say that's a sign they're making a move.
I love it.
They already have him penciled in.
I love it.
Get Crochet an extra day.
Okay.
But we answered it the same. We both want a bat and a reliever
unless it's a starter. Unless it's Joe Ryan.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, what else, Billy?
Okay, would you rather Will Campbell or Steph Diggs have a Pro Bowl season?
I would say Diggs out of those two. The better long-term health of the franchise is probably Campbell. He's just going to be here longer. Diggs might be one and done no matter how productive he is. But for this year, what's better for Drake May? What's better for the team? Diggs.
Yeah. So this one I went back and forth on. I'll answer it Steph Diggs. And I guess here's why. Let's just forget about replacements and stuff. Let's say if he's one of the four best AFC wide receivers – that means they scored a lot of points, and that means Drake May was really good. Will Campbell, being one of the three or four best left tackles, is great, and that's awesome long-term. It is better long-term. But you got to remember, Devin McCourty was a Pro Bowl cornerback.
Yep.
And you thought he was going to be a corner for 10 years. His third year in the league, he got moved to safety, and he ended up being a great safety. But I look at it almost similar, where a corner is way more valuable, just like a left tackle is way more valuable than a left guard.
Yep.
But there's still no guarantee long term on that. So I'll say for the offense, a team that has had a drought, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019. If Steph Diggs makes the Pro Bowl in a conference that has, Jamar Chase and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all these guys, then, that'd be pretty something. So that means the offense, I think, would be even better.
So, again, Campbell has time to make Pro Bowls.
Yep.
Like, to me, what's best for the team this year? Diggs.
Yep.
I have no shot at seeing if these kicks are going through, by the way. Can you see those any better with the binocs?
Do they have a ref down there putting his hands in the air? That'd be helpful.
Well, there's somebody under the uprights, but they're not signaling anything. It's pretty worthless.
Just catching them?
Yeah. Also, who's that in the bucket hat out there? Is that our guy Springer? It's got to be.
Probably.
He was right next to the kicker. That's got to be the Spring Dog with a very fashionable bucket hat.
Smart. Keep the sun out of your face.
They're going through some kicks right now, alternating Romo and Andy Borogales.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Every time.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. What else?
I like how John Parker Romo dropped the John off.
Yeah, it was a good move. See, now
that's up and true.
That was good. That looked pretty good.
I think that's up and true.
Right off the Optum side. Shout out Gerard Mayo. All right, what else do we have there, Bill?
Would you rather be Happy Gilmore or Bobby Boucher?
Now, this is their career. I would rather be Bobby Boucher, I think. They burn hot.
So, yeah.
Never. Did he ever go pro? Do we know that?
I Boucher?
Yeah.
It ended with him going to college. Remember, because his dad showed up at the end and said, go pro, and he's like, no, I'm going to college, so he can get his degree.
Interesting. He could have gone pro. He wasn't necessarily the smartest guy, but he had a lot of sports center highlights.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather be good at football than good at golf.
Me too.
But Happy Gilmore won.
Although, Happy Gilmore, that's a lifetime sport, Keith. That's for your whole life.
And not to spoil this for you, Jones. Okay, I know you haven't seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet.
I didn't say that. I thought about watching it again last night, but I did not watch it.
But
right,
let's paint this out. Yeah. So Happy Gilmore, we did see what happened with Happy Gilmore 30 years later. We know that in the 90s, he ended up winning. 90s, early 2000s, he won 6 tour championships.
Wow.
It's a lot of gold jackets.
That's not nothing.
He then lost all of his money.
Oh, boy.
So there is that. He also has 5 kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher, I don't think he had any kids.
With how many women?
Just one.
One.
Nice.
Who he killed?
Oh,
allegedly
no.
One.
He killed her.
What?
Not on porpoise, but he did.
No.
Sadly.
Spoiler alert.
It's early in the film, but he murdered her with a ball. He hit her with a long drive. She died. So,
oh, boy.
Bobby Boucher is my answer. I'm going to go
Boucher?
Bobby Boucher. Yeah. Okay. He had like 16 sacks in a game at SCLSU.
I mean, I think that's the answer, too. Although, again, yeah, how's that going to – I mean, he led with his head.
At halftime. They won the Bourbon Bowl.
He led with his head, Keith.
So yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go.
No, it's scrambly eggs up there
long
for sure.
Long term, but yeah.
Happy Gilmore also had a lot of, like, during his junior hockey career.
That's a good point.
If
you're a brawler,
yeah,
that doesn't age well either. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, we agree. I think we've agreed on everything so far. Let's see if we can get some disagreement here.
All right, would you rather a slushy or a frap?
Frap, no contest. Slushy.
Well, if it's a slush puppy. Now, this is very important. If it's a slush puppy.
Well, it says slushy.
Well, I know, but there's different kinds of slushies. Okay. There's like slushies you can get like at any kind of gas station, and they're just sitting in there, and it's just like sugar or blue sugar. But if it's the slush puppy with a little dog on the cover, great mascot, he's holding the little slushie himself, he's enjoying one, and you can get like a watermelon slushie, and you can distribute the amount of sugar water you want in there, it might be a slushie. I love a frap. I love a milkshake.
It still only might be?
If it's
the best slushy possible,
puppy,
it might be.
Slush puppy is the answer. Uh-huh. If it's a slush puppy, I do love a milkshake. However, milkshakes are tough. If you get 10 milkshakes at 10 different places, what are the chances the consistency is the right consistency you want? Two out of 10? Four out of 10?
I mean, it's fairly low.
You think it's that high, Nick? Because I feel like it's either
it's fairly
you're
low,
drinking
but,
it like milk
but I don't
or
care.
You need a spoon.
But
and
I don't
I'm like,
care.
It's, I still
you
feel
don't
like
care,
a bad,
well,
I feel like a bad milkshake is better than a slushie.
Exactly.
No, a bad milkshake isn't a bad milkshake. It's a glass of milk. A slushie is still a slushie.
Over a slushie.
I don't want to eat a slushie. I want nothing to do with that.
I think you're thinking about only the best case scenario of a frap.
No,
there's a lot of bad fraps out there. I hate
you're thinking
to be
only best case scenario of a slushy.
Yeah, exactly. You're
slush puppy.
Yeah, well, that's what right. You're taking the best case scenario.
Yeah, I don't want like the random like, oh, we have blue and red, and there's no dog on it.
What if it's just best on best? Best frap, which, by the way, what's the difference of frap and a milkshake? What is the difference?
One
is there a difference?
Massachusetts.
Is there a difference? But best on best. Best milkshake or best your high-end slush puppy, which I don't even appreciate that much.
Probably isn't. Best on best, it would be the milkshake.
Best on best.
It'd
well,
be the frap. Okay. A nice coffee frap.
Well, I answered this very directly, frap. Yeah. I'm still confused at your answer. Your answer is?
If it's a slush puppy, I want the watermelon slush puppy.
Unless it's best on best, in which case
best
you
on
want
best, milk. I go back over
So
here.
I still haven't heard an answer. Bill, how would you
well,
answer
Well, what
that?
Is it? Is frap. It best on best?
I don't know.
Frap, hands down.
Frap. Yeah, see, you're how Bill answers.
I can say either one right now. I'm starting to sweat bullets here under the questioning here.
And I think frap
plus
is a milkshake
has like
with
a
more
heat lamp on me. Do you know? You think this is helpful?
Oh.
Nobody knows this. We're sitting out here in the 95 degree weather. Plus, there's 2 heat lamps on for Twitch.
That would burn a python. Is what that would do. Never mind
God.
The two of us. I'm sorry, Bill. You were saying
I gotta go inside.
No, I just said I think the only difference between a frap and a milkshake is I think a frap has more ice cream in it.
All right, then I want that.
Yeah. I like that. Like a coffee frap. Like a nice coffee frap. That sounds great. Okay. Well, there you go. Would you rather every Wednesday?
Hot, these rhinos.
Jones and Keith.
Man, it just really kicked up a notch.
It's kicked up a little bit.
I don't know if it was the slushy frap debate that got me, but I am sweating.
I famously said earlier today, I'm like, it's not as hot today as it is yesterday.
Hotter.
It's closing the gap. I'll tell you that right now. It is closing the gap.
I'm having a problem.
617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. We'll give you our thoughts, takeaways.
Lord.
Day 7 of Patriots training camp coming.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between. We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next.
Spoke yesterday about how Josh McDaniels wants the quarterback room to stress the defense with their athleticism, with their legs. We saw a couple quarterback run plays, or at least option to run. What is?
Are you reporting on plays from practice?
Well, no. I'm asking you.
No, you said you saw the type
of
play.
I did, but
he was talking about it.
I know he was. I know he was.
Does Drake have to prove to you that he can handle some of that stuff, just in terms of like being smart about his body and putting himself at risk?
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to run over every player on defense, or nor should we try. You know, it's critical that those plays are available to us, and we do a good job of picking and choosing the appropriate time. And then when they do have the football in their hands, that they have to, one, be able to secure it and be able to protect themselves and use the rules to their advantage. You know, being able to give themselves up is something that's critical. And I get that a lot of these young players, they feel like they're fearless, and that's great. But, you know, we just have to make sure that we're making great decisions.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier today. Jones and Keefe live, Patriots training camp, day 7. Wrapping things up here momentarily. They're wrapping up, I would say, some 11-on-11s. We have Drake May going through it now. Pat's in shorts and shells today. We haven't seen as much of the quarterback running, but Vrabel was, number one, showing off his personality a little bit there, going at Giardi. What are you reporting on plays?
Yep, pretty
from
fun.
Training camp? Is
pretty
that what
good.
You're doing, Mike?
He's like, what? No.
But he did also say that's something they're going to have to do this year. He did not shoot down the idea that Drake May is going to be a running quarterback, which you and I are both very much in favor of.
Absolutely. I think that's the best version of Drake May, and really, let's face it, the best version of this offense. Look at the personnel.
I would say just about any offense in the modern NFL.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, Burrow wouldn't be that.
Yeah, but Burrow also isn't one.
He moves well, but he's not a guy you're designing runs for.
No, but like, you also have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Like, you should
correct.
Prioritize passing to those guys,
fair.
Getting them the ball and letting them run with it. The Patriots, we hope, have that in Steph Diggs. But even still, like, you need more. You need another dynamic to the offense. So, yeah, to me, it's a no-brainer that he should run, and that does seem like it will be. Now, I don't know how much you do it in practice settings like this, right? But maybe next week will be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. Not to wish away today, Jones, but next week at this time, we're going to be watching Jaden Daniels and Drake May.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going head-to-head in some of these drills. So it should be a lot of fun.
He basically said he wants the, and you heard it there, he wants the quarterbacks to protect themselves, use the rules to their advantage, give themselves up. That's critical. But he did say those plays are critical, that they're available to us.
Yeah.
For Drake May. And
definitely.
So I would consider that largely a good thing. We haven't seen as much of that today. We have seen some, I don't want to call them trick plays, but we have seen some other wrinkles out here today involving some other players outside of the quarterback. So we're seeing more and more wrinkles as we go along here. Out of the Josh McDaniels offense. The other relatively big update from Vrabel today was that we're not going to see Gonzalez this week, Christian Gonzalez, but we should see Carlton Davis, it sounded like, soon-ish. He lumped him in with a group in Morgan Moses, who's out there today.
Mm-hmm.
He lumped him in with Harold Landry, who's out today on a planned absence.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a personal thing or just a down day for him, but he lumped him in with that group, which I would say is largely promising.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the guys – it's funny because he was asked specifically the first day of camp about Steph Diggs, and you remember we were talking about it, how, you know, he's got no limitations, but he's not going to do everything. And then he added, you know, nobody's going to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in that question and answer, it was about a veteran player, specifically about Diggs, but clearly you can apply that to – all the guys they signed, essentially. Like, he's given them a little bit of a break. He knows what he has in those guys. First of all, their roster spot isn't up for grabs. And even really their playing time or their starting role isn't. So it's also an opportunity. You have 91 guys out on the field. Like, you do want to see some of the other ones and make sure you're making the right calls in a couple of weeks as far as, like, who makes the team and who doesn't.
We're not quite done with practice yet, but it seems like you're going to get a lot of Jared Wilson in the top 5 somewhere on your O-line. Oh, that was... don't want to call it a big hit, but that's the first real contact we've seen.
Yeah, that was almost more accidental. The I don't know. Was that Henderson? Who's the running back?
No. I think that's Lan Larrison. You heard anything about him, Keith?
Lan Larrison?
Yeah, 34 Lan Larrison out of UC Davis. You haven't heard anything about this guy? Good mustache. Good tickler on this guy.
Sounds made up.
But I think that's
all due respect to Lan Larrison.
I think that's
family.
Who the back was. That okay. was Gibby, Jack Gibbons on the inadvertent hit out there.
Well, that's what it was. It's like they just kind of like more ran into each other than it was actually hit.
But still, I mean, we just haven't seen much contact, period.
No. And they're not even wearing padded pants today.
There's not going to be dropping anybody out there, but a little bit of that. I was just starting to say, I think Jared Wilson's clearly going to be one of the five on their O-line. Now, how good is he? It sounds like Kalavon Chasen having another monster day. Will Campbell, not so much
Dobbs is
today.
So bad.
Dobbs throw that throw.
I would like to see Woolridge get a little sniff. It's not any of that.
He hasn't gotten any of that. 7-7 and 11-11 today. You're right. We haven't seen any Woolridge.
So
apologies, Dice.
Yeah, I know. That's not a competition
but
at all.
But he just missed. Chisholm looked like he had a step there. He just missed him. Put it out of bounds.
This is one of those teams now. This is a camp that has a clear number one quarterback, a clear number two, a clear number three.
I think that's fair.
That's what it looks like. Even though, I mean, you can count on one hand maybe the number of good plays Dobbs has made in seven practices.
I would say that's a fair characterization. Clear-cut pecking order here.
Yeah.
I do still miss Joe Milton on that front. They are wrapping things up here, not even cooling down, going through any it doesn't look like
you got to cool down today.
Like closing workout, no running or anything that they've been doing at the end of these practices. So nothing like that. Looks like we can put a bow on day seven here. As good as the O-line looked yesterday, bad first day for Will Campbell. Or at least a mixed bag. Maybe bad is too strong.
Yeah, I think it was more mixed bag.
Strong
right?
bounce back yesterday. Really good day for Jared Wilson, who repped almost exclusively at left guard today, even without Garrett Bradbury, which I think gives you some insight into how they're looking at it. We've been painting a picture of that all day. Sounded like a bad day for Will Campbell, not just in one-on-ones, but also when you got to 11-on-11. Our guy, the Lions' Den, John Lyons, Will Campbell, having trouble with inside speed and spin moves from Kalavon Chasen. Yeah. Something he'll need to work on. That name is popping off.
Is Chasen the greatest player ever, or is he just exploiting a bad offensive line? Or maybe it's a combination of the two. Maybe he is due for a breakout, or maybe he is going to have a good season. But, yeah, his name has flashed more than anybody else's really on defense as far as guys causing problems for the quarterbacks or breaking up plays or whatever. So, yeah, whether it's Morgan Moses or Will Campbell, those guys have had a hard time keeping their hands on them.
We'll give you full takeaways on what's going on at day seven. I did jump the gun there. I thought they were breaking down and leaving the field. They're breaking down into special teams.
Yeah, it's time for teams.
So we'll get some special teams, maybe a cool down. We'll give you the full recap. And don't forget, short Jones and Keefe program today. Red Sox pregame starts at 12:10. Joe Weil will get you game ready for the rubber game. Red Sox and Twins final game before the trade deadline. We'll wrap up our thoughts live from Patriots training camp. Brought to you by McFarland Energy, coming up next.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.